coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
The Houston Astros continue to anger baseball fans. They cheated for sure in 2017. They probably cheated in 2018 and 19 too. Whether you want to believe the buzzers or the Altuve home run and thinking that he had a buzzer underneath and that's how he knew the slider from Chapman was coming and that's why he didn't want the jersey to be torn off. How bad did it get?
I want to know how many other teams also. That's what's in my craw right now.
Well, what does your gut tell you?
That there's more than just the Red Sox and the Astros.
So,
10?
We brought this up earlier. Yeah, that Ken Caminiti, remember, originally got ripped when he said 60% of baseball players were juicing.
Yes.
And then, sure enough, you know.
Jose Canseco probably confirmed a lot of that.
Right. And now we just had your guy mentioned that there are how many pitchers who are with the spin rate?
Bauer?
Yeah, Trevor Bauer said
that in the article that I read from he wrote in the Players Tribune, I believe he referenced the number 70%.
70%. Use some illegal substance on the ball.
To try to improve their spin rate.
So, and if we know the Astros and the Red Sox did it, and that they were two very successful teams.
But I'm even saying, you know, take the spin rate out of it. I'm very leery to believe that there's only been two teams that use technology.
Well, that's my point. To say that if people are cheating with the spin rate at a 70% rate or close to it, and if back in the day, Caminiti said 60% of the guys were juicing, it's always more than we know and we think, right? Yeah,
usually, for sure.
So, I mean, do you think it's half the teams?
I don't know if it's half. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's half, but I find it really unlikely that it's only two. Weren't there whispers that the Dodgers were doing some stuff as well?
Yeah, and
there's been
whispers around the Brewers. Remember what happened with Yu Darvish this winter?
Right. Now, I know that, if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Rizzo has said undoubtedly that the Cubs have not done that.
And then Theo told us on the show, our show.
Right.
He brought that up. So I want to give you a little history here. So it's bad enough that they're busted for cheating. Now, in order to get the truth and at least to expedite the information and get that out there and to get the investigation wrapped up quickly, Major League Baseball promised all the players on the Astros immunity. So they said, if you testify and you tell us exactly what you know and you don't lie to us, we will not penalize you as a player. And now a lot of people are mad at that because the players were all in on this.
What I would also like to add to that is I wonder if they could go back, and I know they said they found no evidence of the buzzer system, right? I wonder if they could go back and find new evidence that would reopen the investigation, and maybe you could catch all of them lying about that.
And then suspend them for that.
Well, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, like you said, they decided they weren't going to go after the players and issue individual punishment because they were going to spill the beans, so to speak. But if you only spilled like 3/4 of the beans and you got 1/4 of the beans left and you didn't give up all the beans, then you weren't 100% honest.
So this is Jim Crane. This is the owner of the Astros. And this is not from today. I want to let you know. This is from back in January, just to set the stage. So you remember they had this Astros fan festival. It's like the Cubs and Sox Fest and all that stuff. And the players were defiant there, and it came off as a bad look. Mm-hmm. So Jim Crane, addressed that and said, look, they will be better going forward.
You know, the players have been beaten up a little bit, and I think, you know, they've been all spread out. I saw some of the things yesterday on with the guys interviewed. They're just kind of getting some advice to take it easy. When we get down to spring training, we'll all get them together, and they'll come out with a strong statement as a team, and I think, you know, apologize for what happened, and we'll move forward.
All right, so the players are going to come up with a strong statement. We're going to get them together. We're going to get this right. We're going to come up with a strong statement.
Brief would be more a better adjective instead of strong.
This is Alex Bregman today.
I have some brief remarks.
that I'd like to share with y'all. I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
That's people who cheat or people who do wrong. They always say they never want to focus on the past. They always want to move forward. But wasn't that Mark McGuire's thing? Isn't that what he wanted? I choose not to talk about
the past.
Well,
because the past is sorted and it's the reason why you're there and in an uncomfortable setting.
Right. I'm here to only talk about the future and how to make it better.
If I talk about the past, I have to admit fault if I talk honestly about the past.
Right. So that brief. I love that, and Waddle even noticed this early. That both him and Altuve, they come out right away and they tell you, like, how bad is that? They're like, look, I'm going to give you, like, a really short statement. This is basically a short written statement that I really probably don't even believe in. This is Altuve.
I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night. And I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020.
He said championship, thank you. Right? Did he say championship or did he?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's what they had in 2017.
Right. Did both of these statements end at the same point? I'm wondering if, like, they were on a 20-second shot clock, and once they hit 20 seconds, they got the buzzer, and physically, and that was like the sign to stop, because the more you talk, the more you're going to indict yourself.
Yeah, you even heard buzzing, and that we didn't put that there, but it was just
we should have. We should have. Poetic justice. The crisis management team was buzzing them if they went too long.
My point is like, you get the crisis management team, but, you know, behind a curtain, and when you got to the 20-second mark, they gave you a little bit of a shock, and that meant wrap it up.
By the way, they should probably, I don't know if they have one, but they should definitely employ an in-house crisis management team, because remember, right before the World Series started, they had to address the Brandon Taubman situation.
Right.
And then shortly thereafter, then they had to talk about Jeff Luhnow being fired and let go. So they should probably keep that management team on retainer.
No, what they should do is probably get a new one. I should probably get a new crisis management team.
We always joke about that, Waddle. For as long as we've been together, we have joked about these crisis management teams, these PR teams who suck. Like, this is supposed to be like
they're the Padres of crisis management. They are.
Well, most of them are. Like, usually you and I could come up with something on a whim, on the show, improv'd, ad-libbed, better than what they took time and effort to write out about. Like, you don't have to say, I'm going to be brief. You don't say at the end, I only want to focus on it. You say, look, what we did as an organization in the past is an awful thing. We're not proud of it. We were absolutely wrong. And AJ Hinch actually said it well. We have to live with everyone out there judging us.
We're going to
focus on the future, and we're going to play the best we can and win another championship.
Your nipples just caught fire because you got hit by the buzzer so hard so many times. Right.
So let me be Alex Bregman, and I'm going to tell the truth, and then you're going to be Jim Crane.
You got a buzzer in
and
there?
Someone's going to...
You guys are my crisis management team
that
in there.
That happened in the movie Saving Silverman. I don't know if you guys have seen that one where he puts clamps on his nipples to shock him every time he mentions his ex-girlfriend.
Well, we could execute that.
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
Yeah, you could be our Silverman, Sylvie.
Right, so I'll be Alex Bregman, and I'm going on there, and I'm going to be honest, okay? Hey, welcome to spring training, everyone. First thing I want to say is I'm totally embarrassed. What I did and the way I succeeded is not the way I choose to succeed in life. This is not the way we choose to win, and I want to be better than we've been in the past. When are you going to buzz me? So that
you
I
don't
can
need
get
to be buzzed. No, wait
you're
a second.
Okay. You're doing okay.
Right, you are telling the truth. I don't want you.
Oh, no, I'm saying if you're the Astros, you got to buzz me to get back to being more spin control.
We need some clarification.
I'm being too truthful. That's what we were doing.
Yeah. This is the point. Are we being a good crisis management team?
No, you're being the Astros as Jim Crane runs the team.
Okay.
I'm being Alex Bregman, and I'm telling the truth too much.
Start over. Let's do this again.
Hi, guys. It's good to see everyone back at spring training. I just want to say we as an organization want to turn over a new leaf. We actually want to win as many games as possible and hit home runs and know when the pitch is actually coming.
No, now I'm back.
No, you let that one go.
You let that go. Never mind.
I get what you're saying.
I mean, but that's my point. We could sit here and do a better job. And do a better job.
Well, and here's the situation as well. Look, and I don't know why these guys don't understand it. The shorter the brief, the more brief you are, the more questions you're going to leave unanswered. What I would have said is, you said what you just said. And then as part of your explanation, you say, I can't get into details because this situation has been ruled on by Major League Baseball. And we've pretty much, it's been talked about. I'm here to accept full responsibility for the transgressions, but I'm not going to get into any of the details.
Yes.
Because Major League Baseball and the Astros have come to the agreement that the best thing to do is accept responsibility, promise to be better, and move on.
Go ahead, Mel. You
focus on the fact that you understand what you did was wrong.
Yes.
And it is incumbent upon you, the Astros, to earn back the trust of the public.
And then you say to them, I understand how you may never look at us the same. Any future successes you may look at differently. We have to live with that because of what went on in the past.
And I know, for that,
we're sorry.
And I know you may have some more specific, more detailed questions, unfortunately, because of how we've gone through this investigation with Major League Baseball. I'm not going to be able to answer every specific question that you have. But we are here to assume responsibility for our behavior.
And then before we take calls, this was the cherry on top of the sundae. This is their owner again, Jim Crane, sort of going back.
I know you are, but what am I?
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
And 50 seconds before that, he said it didn't impact the game.
Liar.
Do you have a whole thing where it's the back and forth, Mallor, where you can share that?
Sure, here.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
How do you trust anything from that guy?
There's a guy who's got $1 billion in the bank, and he could just tell you what he wants to because he's got $1 billion in the bank.
That's right.
What was a movie where Paul Giamatti's face turned blue every time he lied? Wasn't that the premise of the movie from years ago?
I didn't see that one. And I love Paul Giamatti, too.
This was from a long time. It was a kid's movie. Big Fat Liar.
Okay, I didn't see that.
I think Big Fat Liar. I think he turned blue when he lied. His face, his body turned blue.
312-332-3776. What do you think of this? Can baseball go back now and penalize them after promising not to penalize them? Are you more mad at the Astros after hearing what went on today? We want to take all your calls and Mark Gene Greco at 5:30.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
People are mad at the Astros all over again because they just don't really seem like they know what they've done here. They know what they've done. I guess I shouldn't say. They don't want to admit it. A lot of people like that think they're bulletproof, right?
I guess. I don't know what the... do they think that taking a less transparent approach is going to help them or it's going to shield them from further scrutiny? I think the opposite is true. And I think that you could look in past scenarios where what they did or the approach they took had hideous effects on people.
Haven't we always said that whenever someone gives a true apology, we're always like, okay,
yeah,
all right.
At the very least, you're more willing to kind of tolerate somebody.
Now, people dislike them even more. John's in Lake Villa. Hey, John, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, boys. Love you. Love the show.
Thank you.
A couple quick things. I think the owner of the Astros went to one of Trump's seminars. Maybe the Brewers have been so good because, you know, Bernie the Brewer is out there. You know, their mascot that slides in the beer. Maybe he was pinging on the beer mug out there. I don't know. Maybe that's why the Brewers have been so up. Let me ask you guys, what's your over-under for the Cubs and the White Sox? I'm sure there's, you know, the Vegas line. What would you take now if you could lock in? And I mean, would you take the over or the under on the Cubs and the White Sox?
And then
lastly, I want to ask one more thing. Mr. Waddle, you're a tough guy. Do you think Sylvie would have cried if he'd have been hit like you did one time? Love you guys.
I don't think he would have cried.
I would have been unconscious.
I don't think he would have cried.
But then when I woke up, John, I would have cried.
I don't think crying would be the response that, I mean, like I fell down the stairs carrying a table last week and like landed on my knees and my knees are still swollen.
Yeah.
I didn't cry.
No, right.
I mean, not because I'm tough, but just crying was not, I was wailing.
Yeah.
Not crying,
yelling,
but screaming.
I yell when I get hurt myself or like swear.
Yeah.
Toughness factor was that you would go out there after you had your brains beaten in and you'd be out there two or three plays later.
Well, if that.
Yeah. Next play.
That's stupidity.
Well, then, it was also
a
lack of education on the football part.
Yes, exactly correct. There's no doubt about that.
What they say, the cobwebs just got to knock the cobwebs off.
They used to say, like, you look at my fingers. How many fingers am I holding up? If you could get within two of the right answer, they'd send you back out. If not, they sat you back down. I'm joking, kind of, but, like, if I gave you four fingers like this, I showed you, I mean, it sounded weird, but if I showed you four fingers, I'm your doctor, and go, how many fingers you see, and you said one, oh no, you got to go sit down, because I've got four here. But if I was holding up four fingers, and I said, how many fingers am I holding up, and you said two, you'd be like, all right, get back out there. Go get him, Tiger.
And smelling salts were given for you to pep back up so you could get back out, right?
Yeah.
Mike in Crystal Lake. Hey, Mikey.
For the record, I would have just gone back inside, iced it, and then take a couple of those cubes, put them in a scotch, and tend to my injury.
God bless you, Mike. Hey, God bless you.
But I was listening to those kind of like half-baked apologies, and it really sounded like the PR department put together one halfway decent apology, and they looked at it and said, all right, I'll take the top half, you take the bottom half. Because you have two players that actually did the same thing, are accused of the same thing, and at no point did they touch on the same subject at all. Like, one of them addresses a couple issues, the other addresses the other couple, and it's like, all right, we covered the whole thing, we're good.
This, to me, is a classic, the public has a short attention span apology. That's how I would title it. Okay, this is the approach we're going to take. It's the public has a short attention span apology. So you're going to go out there. It doesn't even matter what you say. Sorry. Just use the word sorry. Speak a foreign language. Say sorry. Do whatever you want to do. I don't care what you say. Make a sentence that doesn't make any sense, but say sorry. And 3 weeks into spring training, and when the spring training games begin, everyone's going to forget it.
You know,
now, I'm not telling you that that's exactly how people are going to respond, but that to me seems like the strategy that they employed. Say the word sorry. However you get it out, the word sorry's going to come out of your mouth, and 3 weeks from now, nobody's going to care because everyone will move on.
This comes from Jim Crane. It comes from the top down in the statement where he talks about we didn't think it had an impact on the game. That's the attitude. And if the ownership at the ownership level, he's telling the players, in some ways, he's telling them it's okay because I didn't think it was egregious enough where it impacted the game. He's setting that tone by saying that immediately because, look, he's trying to cling to the fact that they won a World Series championship. So he's trying to validate that despite the fact that there's a cheating scandal going on. So I understand it's human, but if he were, I think it would have gone over better saying, you know what, that's unacceptable, and this for my players is not the way we're going to do things going forward. It's unfortunate it happened. And he could have sidestepped it a little bit and softened it and without actually, you know, admitting enough faults where it would feel like the World Series was tainted. If he just would have been a little more honest about the situation.
Listen, this thing has been brewing for a long time, right? And it is caused a lot of whatever. You've had anger. You've had guys, you know.
Resentment.
People resented people. You have players now suing. There's money. Money has become a focal point here. Brevity is not something that I think was an advisable approach.
Again, like
being brief.
Confidence. Think about the Yu Darvish story. If Yu Darvish, They knew what he was throwing. Did they know what Yu Darvish? He thought he was tipping pitches for the longest time. He wasn't tipping. They knew the signs. They were doing it in real time.
So,
Yu Darvish for a year, a full year. Remember that article when he wouldn't want to go, but he wanted to hide from the Dodgers fans because he let them down.
Right.
He was mental. He talked about possibly retiring.
Yes.
Before he was signed. We're talking about serious stuff with a lot of athletes here.
So. Do you think the guys that were implicated in this, that a brief 20-second explanation kind of did justice to all of the players? Like, if I'm a former player, or excuse me, if I'm a player on another team, you know, I may be, maybe it's not my spot to say, hey, you need to give me more answers than that. But I would appreciate that as a former player. If I'm Trevor Bauer, I'm somebody else, if I'm Aroldis Chapman, or I'm somebody else, I would have... The last thing I wanted was this brief kind of nonchalant explanation with the word sorry attached to it.
John's in Barrington. Hey, John, you're on ESPN 1000. John?
Hello, John.
John's not there. Let's try Tom in Crystal Lake. Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys. It's largely because of what they did to my buddy Yu. But if they weren't holding their rings in hand, turning them in like Rudy's teammates laid down their jerseys, it's not good enough. And I hope that the opposing pitchers make it right if Major League Baseball doesn't. And if they don't, I hope the fans do. I mean, it's going to get messy because I'm pissed and it's not even – we didn't even lose to them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not one – and I don't know, Jeff Mellers said differently. I'm not demanding them give up their title. I don't know. Again, I can't prove that there were other teams doing similar stuff, but I can't not prove it. I mean, like, there's a very real chance that they weren't the only ones doing this. So if that's the case, were there other teams that had the same type of unnatural advantage that would have affected games? There's just too much unknown for me. Tell the story. You guys are all going to be shamed. Maybe there should have been a greater punishment in some way, shape, or form. But vacating a title, to me, I don't believe does a whole lot of good.
See, but I think it actually does show the players that what you did is unacceptable. And if you vacate the title, I'm not awarding the Dodgers a World Series title because the Astros is vacated. I'm simply saying, you know what? There's no World Series champion from that season. And you want to know why? Because you got a bunch of cheaters in Houston who sullied it for the rest of you guys out there. And you want to take it up with them? Go ahead and talk to them about it. But nobody's the World Series winner for 2017. Probably 2018, too, once we get this Red Sox report. And 2019, you're suspect. Because we see a bunch of footage with buzzers.
I still remember them as champions.
What hurts more, taking it away or penalizing them in this postseason and not allowing them to make it?
But I don't think you can do that because of the competitive balance of the rest of the league.
But if they're why? Because only the teams who face them. What does it mean that they'll be easier games?
They're a good team, right?
Right.
So if they're sitting their guys. Because,
paying their guys. I mean,
if you don't care about it, there's no postseason, there's no, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow in terms of postseason play, they're still getting paid. Why do you think you're going to get the effort that's necessary, especially not to bring this back to the conversation of a couple of days ago, but an 162-62 game grind? If I'm feeling a little tired and I got no chance to go to the postseason, how many of those guys are tapping Skip on the shoulder?
You're still playing for a contract, though. You're still playing for the back of the baseball card.
Not if you're, you know, under contract for 7 years at $20 million a year, you're not.
Paul's in Kenosha. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good.
So, can they take away all their World Series bonus checks as a fun form of punishment? Leave the title. Let them have the title, the ring. Take their pocketbooks. Hit them in the pocketbooks. I think that's the way to show them at least they have some kind of penalty, something moving forward, because this happens everywhere in real life, real world. You get these corporations, they make these foul judgments, whatever. They don't even say they're sorry. Until it hits them in their pocketbook, that's when they express their sorrow, their grief. And until they get that, I don't think they're going to say sorry or even feel quite a bit of remorse for what they did. I'll listen in. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Look, I go back to the other thing that I mentioned as well. I think how naive are we? How many guys are scuffing baseballs? How many guys are doing different things? You call it gamesmanship.
Where is
the level? And I'm the one that I can draw a difference between stealing signs without technology and stealing signs with technology. So gaming the game is okay until you use technology. You're still gaming the game. How about the guys using substances? How about guys doing things that are outside the lines of the game? I don't know where to draw the line. I think there's a lot of, you call it gamesmanship, I call it cheating that's going on. This is drastic, but how about if you found out that the 2017 World or 18 World Series champs, whoever it was, they were all scuffing baseballs. They were all using pine tar on baseballs. Are you going to take that one away?
It's a great question. Mark Jean Greco will answer it, and we'll take more of your calls. 332-3776. Can't Miss Radio with Marky is next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Mark Jean Greco in our first Midwest Bank studio. He's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yes.
Thank you to both of those fine partners of ours. Chicago Cut and First Midwest Bank was our title sponsor yesterday.
By the way, Chad Ochocinco is in town for NBA All-Star Weekend, hanging out with all the other celebs, and he tweets out, "Hey, guys, help me out. What's the best steakhouse in Chicago?" What are you kidding? I had to set him straight.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did he say thank you?
I didn't see if he responded to me, but he mentioned some other places. And like, right. What are you kidding?
Yeah.
Come on.
Did you call him up? Hey, Mark. Yeah. Hey, Ocho, Mark.
Yeah, Ocho. He's like, hey, man.
Hey, Ocho. How's
when
it going?
When you talk to him, do you call him Ocho? Do you ask
Mr. Cinco
or Chad?
I just call him Chad Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll be showing up over at the Cut. Hey, Barkley was great yesterday, as always.
It was outstanding. Isn't he the best?
Yeah, he is the best. He's the absolute best.
He is. I mean, like I've said it for years now, but I truly mean it. He's the nicest, most famous person you'll ever meet.
Yeah, I think that's a great description. He loves his life, and he makes sure everybody else loves the encounter with him. You know,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
because he does make a lot of people's day the way he treats them.
Yeah, everybody. And it's not phony either. I mean, he's truly a people's person. So
yeah, he was great.
So the meet and greet must have been cool.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah. What did you make of the Astros stuff today? God.
It's the world we live in these days. If you're rich and powerful, you can get up in front of a microphone and say
anything
you want, with it, and they move on.
What you just
that
heard
was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And people are like, oh well.
You. I think what you did was you saw a billionaire exercised his ego by saying whatever he wanted, and
no
then
question.
50 seconds later denied what he had said.
Right.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, like I said, this is the world we live in today. It's amazing. It's so incredible. Now, I know the Astros players were much more contrite at their lockers and individual interviews and so forth, but everybody cheats. Everybody's doing it. Astros got caught. Bang. There it is. That's it. It's a horrible world we live in. You just got to deal with it.
This is what Verlander said this today. He said, "I wish I had said more. Looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I would have said more for that, and I'm sorry." Back in 2016, this is from Hembo. Hembo tweeted this out, who works for Get Up. He's their producer. This is a quote from Verlander in 16. "We're fighting and clawing for 162 games. You'd hate to see something happen here at the very end. You lose by a game or something and you say, what if?" He was talking about D. Gordon testing positive for steroids.
Yep. There it
and,
is.
And if that could have affected the way the standings worked out.
Yeah.
Then it was a big deal when he's on the team.
Sure.
No, now I wish I would have said something.
How remorseful would any of these players be had they not gotten caught? I mean, would it really bother somebody for the rest of their careers?
I think they'd keep doing it.
I mean, after they retired, you think they'd look back and feel bad?
No,
exactly.
No. Do you believe, like, if I should poll the question, do you believe they were using buzzers last year?
Yes.
Well, you do. Sure. I believe the same thing.
Absolutely.
I can't prove it, but I lean more towards yes than no, for sure. I wouldn't put anything past them. Look, they're justifying what they did to win. Like, winning, it was winning at all costs.
And a lot of these guys want to put it in the category of the unwritten rules of baseball. You do anything you can to win. You know? It's...
Listen, there is a line. I mean, and I think it's a pretty easy line for me personally to kind of distinguish. It's, you use technology to steal signs, you've crossed that line. You use, you know, old school, old fashioned ways of trying to steal signs. That to me is more gamesmanship. But what about scuffing baseballs and putting foreign substances on baseball and doing other things? Where do you draw the line?
Putting foreign substances in your body.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Alex in North Aurora, you want to talk to Mark Giangreco, Alex?
Good afternoon, guys.
All right, you could talk to the other two guys if you don't want to talk to me. That's fine.
Oh, no. I'm talking to all three of you. So I heard on the past, I tried to get in this conversation a couple weeks ago, heard in the past at least two of your callers called in and said, hey, the umpires need to go in and warn the opposing pitchers not to throw at the Astros or else they'll be ejected before the game even starts. I take the exact opposite approach. You go into the Astros and say, because of what you did, we aren't going to fine you. We aren't going to suspend you. But here's the deal. The pitchers are going to have free reign because you really pissed off a whole bunch of them. So as long as they're not throwing above your shoulders, they are not going to be penalized.
Then it's anarchy. Then, you know, you can't take...
It's a public stoning.
Yeah, you can't take that into your own hands.
Well, you know what? In this case, I would, because then they spend the entire year, nobody digs in at the plate, nobody gets a good swing on anything, and let's see how their numbers look at the end of the year.
How about if you put them in the garbage can and then bang it with a bat? How about that?
Altuve. Everybody jumps Altuve as he gets to the plate. There's eight guys out in the field. The pitcher doesn't attack. Everyone attacks him. They put him in a garbage can and they beat the garbage can.
You could put him in a cooler.
You can't put. you can't spend the whole year putting guys on base by hitting them.
It's the first time around. Isn't that the whole year? It's the first game of each new series.
I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to be nearly as punitive as everybody.
It won't be. What about Astros who are on other teams? And it just, you know, it's,
listen, there's also this understanding, I guarantee you, that everyone else was doing it. Well, everyone was doing it. Yeah.
Keuchel spoke today. Did you hear Keuchel?
Yes, we ran him at 5 o'clock.
So I have not heard this yet. Dallas Keuchel, who is now on the White Sox, remember, was a big part of the 17 team. When was he in the Cy Young, Meller? Was that in 16 or 17?
Yeah, no, he won, I think it's 16.
Okay, but he was still a big part of the 17 Astros, and he defended them.
What it was at that time, we're always going to be World Series champs because we were talented and to me we earned the right to be World Series champs. That just because stuff came out about the 2017 Astros doesn't mean other teams were doing illegal stuff. It just means that we were the ones that were, I guess, caught. So I'm not here really dig into anything that happens. That's my feeling, but ultimately it's up to the individual to really, hey, show remorse or just try to move on. I mean, I chose the remorse route because, hey, personally, I felt like that was what was owed. I feel like I owed it to my family, and that's how I was raised. So I'm gonna remember that, but at the same time, I'm gonna try to help this organization win for the next three, hopefully 4 or 5 years down the road.
What'd you guys think?
Well, I think that is the standard response to everyone else was doing it. And
he's
kind
of speaking out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, this is a difficult conversation for someone who just got caught doing something as drastic as this to have. Yeah. It really is. And it's very difficult, I think, for anyone that was inside that Astros clubhouse to suggest in any way, shape, or form that they didn't have a lot of knowledge of what was transpiring. So, listen, it's a self-created cesspool, but they're going to have to keep answering these questions.
And baseball really didn't need this. Implementing all these speed-up rules and everything else, and people, you know, traditionalists taking shots at the game. And, you know, Major League Baseball is in trouble right now.
It's all bad news.
It's all bad.
So. Shirley, in Ingleside, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Shirley?
Hi, guys. Hi, Marky.
Hey, Shirley.
I just wanted to take, like, the other side of this, not to stick up for the Astros, but I got a 12-year-old grandson, and he loves the Astros. And we live here in Chicago, and me and him fight all the time about, you know, Bregman or Correa or Javi, me, you know. And he loves the Astros, and he has, like, every Astro shirt, I bought him jerseys. He dressed up at Halloween as Altuve, like that's his idol.
Shirley, yeah. Does he have one of the Altuve jerseys that has the buzzer sewn into it? Or no?
I don't think that. No? But no, and now his friends at school, they're making fun of him because
well, I'm pretty sure the jersey, though, is probably a perfect fit, you know, for a 12-year-old.
I mean, but, you know, he's so distraught about this. And it's like, you know, what do you say to a 12-year-old? You know, I would go to Houston by my cousin and try to stand in line and go to a game and get some signatures.
This is a teaching lesson. Exactly. As an adult, as a grandmother, it's like, look, not everybody's honest, and sometimes your heroes disappoint you. And why are you cheering for the Astros and not the Cubs or the Sox? You're grounded.
We always have that argument, you know, because I'm always for Javi. But, you know, and all 12-year-olds have what they like for whatever reason. But I just feel bad that these kids are being overlooked in all this. And
who are you a fan of, Shirley? Who's your team?
My team is the Cubbies, of course.
This is your time. This is say to your grandson, no more Astros fan. Now you're a Cubs fan.
Right. I told him, I said, now you're going to put that Javi jersey on when we go to the games, and you're going to be proud, you know?
Thanks, Shirley.
All right, bye.
Well, do we completely absolve the Cubs and Sox, too? There's that whole thing out there.
This is one of the things, and I know Shirley was just kind of asking it in a general term, but what do you tell the kids? Here's the and I'm not, again, pointing at Shirley. I'm just saying, as an adult, what do you mean, what do you tell your kid? It's really simple. This is one of the most simple conversations you'll ever have with your children. What was done here was wrong. If you do something similar, you will be punished as well. Getting away with it is not okay.
But they didn't get punished.
Right, but
that's
you
the
will.
Problem.
But that's
but
what
you
said.
Will.
Yes.
You know, they didn't get punished. They got away with it.
You're right, Lance Armstrong forever is viewed differently.
So what? He got away with it.
No, you have to make the point. No, that's a good...
If you don't have a billion dollars, you're probably not going to get away with it.
Listen, my point is, be rich, kid,
because if you're rich, you can get away with it.
When the answer is, what do I tell my kid is whether you get caught or not, doing the wrong thing is not the right thing to do.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
I'm just a crazy billionaire. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's right.
All right, more Marky coming up next, including I want to get him to weigh in on an idea that a listener had on the XFL. Okay,
ooh, and you're very new ideas.
XFL, and you got to tell us, too, what's wrong with our favorite hockey team. It's all coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Marky's in our First Midwest Bank studio, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. A listener tweeted this to me. I think someone came up with the idea and a listener forwarded it to me, saying, how about this? How about the champion of the XFL takes on the worst NFL team?
I like it.
And if the XFL team wins, the NFL team gets relegated to the XFL, and the XFL team gets to play in the NFL.
Relegation.
Sounds like a really good sports talk radio conversation that has... zero chance of ever.
What? I think it's great. Look, that's the only soccer rule that I would adopt.
Yeah.
Not adapt. And it's relegation.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
No.
It would be cool.
I think it's a good idea. Man, you see the Bengals sweating that one out? Woo! That'd be something.
I would think the college Alabama would have a better chance. I think Alabama could beat, or LSU could beat the XFL.
Remember the
team,
Bears
right?
used to play the college all-stars at Soldier Field.
You know what I mean? I think the college team...
I think there's a chance, yes, that the top college teams could beat
the top XFL team.
There's a good chance of that. You know, against an NFL team, no chance.
Yeah, Roll Tide.
Someone went up to Abdallah yesterday at Chicago Con and said Roll
Woman.
Tide.
Yeah, a woman came up and said
Roll
Tide.
And I told her, I'm afraid to say that to Charles Barkley because I think he might punch me in the face.
Because he's an Auburn guy.
Because he's an Auburn guy. But she said it to him, and he was very polite.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I like that a lot. The pressure, the stress, the tension. I like that. Well, the Bengals run like a fly-by-night organization.
Yeah, they're not. It's not one of the better run organizations.
You talk about mom and pop. Man.
Yeah, it's like
wow.
It's everything they do with regard to like their staff, their scouting staff, their you know management team, all that stuff. There's just they don't invest a lot into it.
Sounds like a basketball team I cheer for.
That could be. Yeah.
Tell me about our hockey team.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Pat Boyle told us earlier it's time to sell. He doesn't need to see any more.
Right. They said, well, we're going to work on the power play and see what happens here. What are you kidding me? It's over. You're 0-3 on the most crucial road trip of the year. And last night, Jacob Markstrom was great. And they're going, oh, the goaltender was hot. But, you know, we really liked the way we played. Got a lot of shots on goal. Really aggressive. Really? Come on. And even at the end of his interview, Jeremy Colliton says, hey, there's points out there and we can get them. It's mid-February, okay? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Pat Boyle said he would be a seller. He wasn't like selling everyone and getting rid of Taves.
No.
He was selling some, you know, whether it would be Corey Crawford.
Maybe Crawford. Right.
Because they're not a horrible hockey team that needs to be completely rebuilt.
Well, I don't know about that. Look, you had to commit to your core and you had to pay all that money. But now, years later, removed from these three cups, it's killing you. And I think the only untouchable is Patrick Kane. I would not want to be the guy to have to trade Jonathan Taves for sure. But, you know, we may be talking about this next year. And if it's worse next year, if it's just as bad, you have to be entertaining an idea of really making radical changes. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. I really don't think they are.
You think it's over now?
I do. I think it's over. You've got two really good goaltenders.
So you trade one of those?
Yes. And
Why wouldn't you, if it's over this year and they're both free agents, why would you trade both of them? And then just bring up or sign some guy? I mean, what's the point?
You could.
If it's just over and you're looking
to collect.
Because
I think Robin Leonard is a known substance now. And
but he's a free agent.
I know. So you're going to have to pick between the two. You're loyal to Corey.
But they're both free agents.
What are you going to do?
You could trade both, get something, and then sign them.
You need to have a goaltender. You got to make that
a
priority.
Over?
Well, this year it's over.
Well, and they're free agents, so they need to be signed anyway. So you could trade Leonard and still sign him in the offseason.
But what if Leonard goes to a team and, like, stands on his head and that team wins the cup and then that team wants to sign him and keep him?
I'm saying let's not talk about the goaltenders right now. You need some defensemen who can defend. Their D is horrible. It's terrible. And that needs to be addressed.
All right, Kevin in Arlington Heights. Kevin, say hi to Mark Jean Greco.
Hey, Mark.
Kevin,
how are you?
How you doing?
Good. Listen, I coach a 7th and 8th grade alternative team at the school I work at for a behavior school, and I played that interview today of that manager.
Good for
and
you.
And those 7th and 8th grade boys laughed out loud when he contradicted himself. Yeah, because the one thing I teach these guys is the only way you qualify to stay on this team is when you screw up and you make a mistake, you got to be honest and you got to own it. If you can do that, you've got a very good chance of not missing a game or a practice. Just be honest, be up front, and you still have a shot to stay with the team that week. And I played that for those kids today, and they looked at me, and they said, Coach, if he was on this team, he would not qualify this week, would he? And I said, no, he would not.
Wow.
So,
way to jump in for the teaching moment.
Well, the only difference
about.
here is that was the owner. It's his team.
Yeah.
You know, I get the message.
Which is even worse.
Right, of course.
It's even worse. So I think that's why the kids laughed.
No, I mean, Coach is right.
Good job, Kevin. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. Mark's in Orland Park. Really quick, Mark, here on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, hi, guys. I heard Waddle saying earlier, talking about the gamesmanship, you know, of stealing science from the secular. I just think we do a disservice even to bring that up in the same subject. They're just so different. It's like a foot to me, stealing a science from second was like a football player recognizing an audible for the third time and yelling out screen pass.
That's what Tom's point was.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier.
That was his point.
So to me, it's just that this is like having a microphone in the huddle go to the middle linebacker. You know what plays called every single time. I mean right. This is serious stuff. So
I draw the line between Mark, the technology thanks. Being used and technology not being used, and I use the exact same example. My question is what's a bigger crime, scuffing the baseball or stealing signs from second base? I mean,
electronically?
No. Just in standard old school form,
scuffing the ball.
Right.
That's cheating.
Okay, so that's my point is that, I mean, if you believe what Trevor Bauer said in the Players Tribune, and 70% of the pitchers are scuffing or putting a substance on the baseball, then again, it just clouds the pond. I can't see anything. I don't know what I'm fishing for. Ultimately, what is going to go on?
I keep trying to regulate my percentages, but, you know, if I'm in a bad mood, 80% of people in this world are really bad.
Yes.
And you have to enjoy the 20%. Sometimes I move it to 75.
High. I think 20's high.
You think it's high? Okay, good. Well, see, you're Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Clean. I thought you'd go higher than that. Well, thank you. Okay. 80% bad guys.
I know what you wanted to say, 90.
20%
You wanted to say 90,
guys.
But you didn't want to sound
you wanted to be nicer.
I'm trying to be nicer. I think in years past, I would have gone 98.2.
Yeah.
So enjoy the quality people you meet.
All right. We've got Tim Kirchin, who is really good on this subject.
And a really nice guy.
Yeah, really nice guy. On with Carmen and Yurko coming up in a couple of minutes here. Jonathan Hood, live and local at 7. Thanks to Good Time, Patty Boyle, Barstool, Big Cat, and the one and only Mark Jean Greco. Thanks to Meller and Abdallah for Marky and Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? What I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.